Hello, my name's Barry. I'd like to welcome you to Christianity Explained podcast, where my goal is to share biblical principles and ideas to help you with your Christian walk. Today's topic is going to be a little bit on the interesting side. It's not one that I readily like to jump in and talk about on the blog side. And the YouTube channel is a little new. What topic am I talking about? Well, it has to do with biblical theology, right? But more precisely, the issue of sin. Hold on. Whoa. Slow down, guys. And according to my analytics, I know a lot of you actually are men who are watching this. So let's talk here. Especially since a lot of guys are the ones who tend to be the evangelists here. All right? And now first, why is it challenging? Why is it a little difficult? Well, for one, when I looked around to see how other people are talking about it, and even though, and I guess I could probably mention Moon Knight, because I watched some of the reviews. Apparently, in episode 3, they mentioned the word sin passingly. And that even later on, there was a price to pay. Wow. But it was very vague and general. Okay, something. You know, I have to thank those guys who did that, because they opened up the door and helped me to see that, yeah, people do talk about sin. And it's not really a bad thing that they do. There's just one problem. It's how the word is used. For a three-letter word, yike! Hey, if you want a bizarre situation, guys, I got a great one. Let's see if any of you can top this one. How about you must have sinned because of your disabilities? Really? So you're going to tell me that a guy who is visually impaired, hearing impaired, has a slight frown on the left face, that somehow I sin. Newsflash! I was born with these disabilities. It came as a result of congenital rubella. Okay? The paralysis, the slight facial paralysis. A doctor was trying to save my life, you freaking moron! That's not sin. And my mom, she didn't sin, as far as that part goes, because guess what? Usually, you're exposed to somebody unwittingly with German measles, rubella. That's usually how it's done. It's not usually intentional. And if you want a great Bible verse, I got a great one. You might want to actually read, and I do mean actually read, John 9, the beginning. Teacher, who sinned? That this man was born blind. Ah, idiot. That was a popular view. And it still is in some Christian circle. Yes. And I'm sure there are other weird things. So, why is it challenging? Well, if what I experienced was kind of nerve-wracking and no real helpful answers, then I can imagine some of the other stuff. I even met a guy who may have been my age, or he's in his 20s or something. He got sideswiped by a drunk driver, and he was saying to a support group I was in at the time, oh, God must have punished me for my sin because of what happened with that drunk driver. No, I'm sure there was sin in his life, but I don't think that his paralysis is the result of his sin, but rather the sin of the drunk driver, the person who recklessly drove while under the influence and seriously injured a young man. Okay? He's the sinner. He was the receiving end of it. And now it's yes. But why is it so difficult? Why can a bunch of Marvel fans can talk a little bit about the topic so long as nobody's pointing a finger? No, if you're a passing Moon Knight fan, no, this isn't about that. So hopefully you guys figured that part out. No, what it is this. One of the reasons it's so difficult to talk about the issue is that when you point a finger at somebody and say, you committed a sin, you did this. Think about it this way. I know you're not seeing this because this is audio, but picture somebody pointing a finger at you that you are responsible for this. You are guilty. You. Do you know what it actually happened? For a lot of you, this is basic psychology 101 that I'm going to share. And then I'll quote the scripture that backs it up. Though I don't think John was thinking of this one, but I'm sure he would have agreed. Well, let's reverse that. The scripture is, men prefer to dwell in darkness for their deeds are evil. That's why they were afraid of the light. Income psychology 101. Do you know there's a defense that human beings have a internal defense mechanism in their brain? It goes like this. Oh no, I'm under attack. Let me guard myself. Let me hide so I don't get accused. Let me keep this hidden away so nobody pound my head through a wall. It seems the psychologist who came up with that probably understood John way better than some Christian theologian. They probably understood it better than that. Because they realized, oh, this is a defense. That's why it's difficult to talk with people. But that's not what the scripture tells us to do. All right, that's one. What it does say is that we are to acknowledge to Christ Jesus that, yes, I am a sinner. Lord, please save me from myself. Save me. I do repent and acknowledge to him. To notice, I said acknowledge to God Almighty, not the mouse over there on the left or the right, not them, to God alone, not somebody else. Yes, I know it's helpful, but that is for healing, okay? And there are things that we really don't need everybody else to know, okay? That's the beauty. You go to the Lord now, say, Father, please save me. That's one. Two, here's the other thing. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come and acquit us of righteousness. Apologize if I misstate that, but here's the part that is very important. But convict the world of sin. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to have a chat with me about my sin. It's the Holy Spirit, not you, not me, not others. Yeah, I know sometimes it helps to be confronted by loving friends and families or appropriate, but in the end, it is the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that will do the convicting. So what does it mean, convicting? Well, it doesn't mean Okay, boy, time to take you out to the woodshed and beat some sense into you, boy! Time to beat the crap out of you so you admit. No. That's not even condemning. That's actually an exaggerated version of what I've seen some people do. But that's not the Holy Spirit. No, he's not going to go, oh, you don't know, but he is going to encourage us. He will convince and help us to deal with the issues of sin. But I want him to admit to this thing. Let the Holy Spirit do the guiding. Okay? And do not confuse abomination with sin. Because a lot of times the things that lead to bad practices and things that get us into trouble. Like, for instance, I was accused of being involved with the occult. Why? Because I was doing fantasy role-playing, Dungeons and Dragons, back in 89, 90, a long time ago. Well, here's the truth. I was not involved with the occult. The only thing I did was have a lady read a tarot card on me. It was totally unneeded, really. But that wasn't the real sin. The real sin was I was running from everything and from the pain. I was refusing to deal with the issue that was in my heart. I was refusing to do that. And rather than running to God, I was running to anything and everything else. That's what got in. That tarot card was basically the fruit that kind of showed, hey, they're going the wrong way. And if you keep this up, you are going to go into self-destruction. Sometimes, and of course, that wasn't going to be obvious to anybody unless the Holy Spirit puts in the heart of the person, why don't you ask him why he's involved with the role-playing thing? Ask him, what is he trying to accomplish? Rather than jumping down his throat! Okay? Yes, I did forgive them. But since I'm generally talking to guys, I think we kind of need that kind of talk instead of the nonsense that sometimes we like to do. Don't worry, I do the gentler stuff on the blog and other places. And feel free. But see, that's the problem. We need to learn to let the Holy Spirit do the guiding. Let him do the prompting. Let him do, not me. Because I am not the Holy Spirit. Neither are you. Okay? Let's ask him. And as we listen. Yes, I firmly believe that he will. And, yes, he may say something, but he could tell you something a little different that you're not going to find in immediate verse. But it all begins with a relationship with Christ. It begins with that. Here's another problem, and I think it really lies at the heart of why we have trouble talking with people who are not believers about the issue. That mention about Moon Knight, the television show and the comic book, well, that wasn't really an accident. It was actually intended, and I think the Lord brought it to mind because those guys did open the door and pointed something that we tend to miss inside the church. See, we get so taught, like, oh, what this, but people outside the church, sin isn't considered a big deal. That's why they were able to do that. They don't understand what it is, and they see it as subjective rather than what the scripture actually teaches. For all have sinned, and I'm quoting from Romans chapter 3, I believe, or chapter 6, in both places, really. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For there is none that does right. There's none that does good. No, not one. And that is true. Why? Because human nature. See, when we are born, human beings, When we're born, we come into the world with a corrupt sin nature, right? We do. It is why we're prone to do things that we really shouldn't. And unless you learn to master it, unless you learn to subject yourself to discipline that says, okay, no, I am not going to take my anger and rage on that person. No, I'm not going to act out what my fleshly, carnal, sinful nature wants to do. Without those guidelines, those boundaries that Scripture teaches us and instructs us to do, forget it. And yes, there is a reason. Even the Jewish people had trouble following all that because they were relying on their own strength to do it. And I'm sure they did a beautiful job, but hey, we all fall short. And if that sinful nature that is a part of us, hey, wait. If you want a great illustration about the difference, you can thank William Shatner from an episode he did in the original Trek, the one where Kirk got separated. So I think I would have loved for him to had that other, had dark, whatever nature, whatever the heck it was. I wish he had done a better job, had done a biblical version of Mr. Hyde, because he would have done a beautiful job. But see, that's what it is. There's nothing good in that, because it is predicated by desires that are not good. And I think we all know. I think we could all easily admit that, yeah, lust is not a good thing for us at all. Lust is, I want it now! I don't give a crap who gets hurt in it! I want it now! Give me more! That's lust. Greed is, money! I don't care who gets hurt! I just want that money! More! That's greed. I think you, and yes, I know about anger, and one day I might just do a little. It's the normal anger, and there's the wrath. Hulk smash! I think you get the idea, folks. That is what the carnal sin nature does. Unless it's put in check, forget it. And we all fall short of it. And so how did this relate? Well, here's the problem. In secular, normal, secular culture, we kind of water that, oh, it's not a big deal. As long as you somehow strive, yeah. you might want to reread what Peter said in Acts 15. How they tried that. It didn't work so well. So I don't think we'll do better. You got that. But the reality is that we worship a God who is holy. He's our creator. He created man and woman. He has very clear designs and purposes, all that. And endowed in each human being wonderful qualities that are good in there. You got that wonderful, beautiful quality that's in there as well. That's where I kind of draw the line with some of the Calvinists, with the total depravity. I felt like they kind of went, nothing good, Well, yeah, to a point. But there has to be some measure of good in it. You can't just do the beat up. But I think the point was, in and of ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. We needed Jesus to come and rescue us from the consequences of our sin. And one of the consequences is death and total separation from God. That is why sin is so destructive. And we don't really teach that. We do it in the church, but we need to communicate. Yeah. See, salvation is more than just Jesus coming and rescuing me so I can go to heaven. He's also had to sever the connection that sin has on my life so I can be set free from its bondage, so I'm not a slave to it anymore. That's what it is. It really is that simple. Yeah, and I do like, and I understand Bethel. After, well, if I'm going to mention John Calvin's group, I better mention the Bethel crew, who they focus on the goodness of God and how we have wonderful treasures in it. Yeah, yes, we do have wonderful treasures. But it's, unless we deal with the sin nature, unless there is a coming to Christ, unless there's that, that wonderful treasure isn't going to come to fruition because it's being throttled by the sin. But once you become a child of God, once you become and move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, once that happens, then all that wonderful thing that's in you comes more in full. And it also helps that we get to know who you are in Christ. And it is through Christ that we have all these wonderful treasures. It is because of Him. He is more than enough for us. He is able to help us do many things. It is Him doing through us. Yes, there is that goodness. And yeah, but sometimes I don't know. I'm more of a realist, and I see the reality of the situation rather than high optimist and everything. Because I see the reality. I see, like, okay, and it's challenging. It is. And I do want to talk, but I don't want to mitigate. But guys, we need to remember, who are we talking to when it comes to that issue of sin? Who are we talking to? Are you talking to believers? Or are you talking to non-believers? If you're talking to believers, then it would help to remember that they are not slaves to sin. But they need to be encouraged to walk in the righteousness of God that's already there. They need to be encouraged and not feel like, okay, well, I guess I can continue. Well, there is a call to holiness. There is a call to keep pushing. Are we going to fall short? Sure. There is not one person who does not. Hey, you know Martin Luther? The famous gentleman who started the Protestant Reformation and everything? You do know that he was a loudmouth drunk, right? Yeah. He had a mouth. And I don't mean a loud voice. I mean, you know, the type that would have some over-sanitized Christian go, oh my God, the word that comes out of that man's mouth. That. You would not want to get him drunk. But you see, we need to recognize that, yes, we can encourage people to walk in the true identity of who they are. So it's a good thing. It doesn't mean that we don't sin. Yeah, we will flip up and we will put a foot in the mouth. But it's not the end. There is such a thing as redemption. There is such a thing as forgiveness. Keep moving. And doing, acknowledge, ask the Lord to help you to repent, if at all possible. By repent, this is what I mean by repent. It means if I was doing this on video, I'd have a friend standing on my left, and just for practice, and I would say, If you want to know what repent is, I'll be pretending to whack him with the back of my hand in the chest and say, hey, oh Lord, forgive me. This is what repent is not. Oh Lord, forgive me for hitting that Tom, for whacking him like this, and all the while I keep doing it. That's not repentance. Repentance is yes, I'm acknowledging to the Lord that this is wrong, but it's also saying, Tom, sorry, I'm going to stop whacking you and using you as a whacking bag. Ew. Oh, good. And I won't. Oh, good. And you'll forgive me if I decide to whack you. But you see, that's what repentance is. It's agreeing with the Lord that we're walking in the wrong way. Go 180 degrees, turn around, and go directly in the way we should be going. That means stop doing what we were doing that got us into trouble in the first place. And yes, sometimes apologizing to the person we hurt. All right. I'm not sure how well this is going to do, but we'll see. All right, I want to thank you for your time. Hope you have a blessed day. See you when I see you.